but he's done very well. He went on a mission trip several years ago to Congo, and when he has no fears about getting up and talking in front of people.
Oh, wow.
So they,
when he was younger, he was very
He's really come a long way. So they chose him to go up there deeply for the mission trip. And the lady that went before him was starting to cry. So he comes up and he puts his arm around her. He did a really good job sharing that one day, So it's nice to see that growth in him, Josh is a greeter at our church. They lets them, kind of follows them. Because at first when we thought, well, I think he'd be really cool with his greeter, but he might hug everybody, but he's at the door.
That's
been there really well.
Everyone.
and James, the two beginning.
Should I go ahead?
No, go ahead.
Well, go ahead.
Thanks. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the easy and engaging way to teach the Bible to children. And just a little bit by way of an introduction, my name is Barbie Enterline. I've been married to my dear husband, Larry, for 43 years, and we have four wonderful children, two precious daughters-in-law, and one wonderful grandson. And I've had the blessing of being a Sunday school teacher for about 30 years. And it truly has been a privilege and a blessing to be used by the Lord to minister to children. Thank you so much. How many of you are involved in release time? Oh, that's so exciting. I had this wonderful memory. It just came to me. You know how sometimes you just forget about what happens in your childhood? And one of the things that I remember, I actually remember this several years ago, but I remember as a child of five, I would go to Sunday school with whoever would be willing to take me because my family wasn't a church-going family. They weren't Christians. And I have a memory of my Sunday school teacher that I had occasionally gone to her class, Mrs. Cook, and I don't remember anything about her class. I don't remember anything about her except for the way she said the name of Jesus. And that memory came back to me, maybe 20 years ago. And it just was so precious to me that God would help me to remember that. And then I think it was yesterday, all of a sudden I went to release time. I cannot believe I forgot that. And probably I was fourth grade, maybe fifth grade. And that it just blessed my heart because I was thinking about the verse in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 3:6, where Paul is saying, he's talking about himself, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. And truly, ministry to children is a walk of faith. Sometimes most of the time, I don't think we ever see the harvest in those children's lives. We're in their lives for months or a year, whether we're a Sunday school teacher or release time or whatever ministry we're in, and then they disappear out of our lives, and we have no idea what happened. I don't think we'll know until heaven. And I know Mrs. Cook does not know what she planted in a five-year-old's heart. My husband, Larry, when he was in, I think, fifth grade, his parents got divorced. And, boy, his Sunday school teacher went through it that year because now he is an angry little boy and so unhappy and taking it out on whoever is in his life. And that Sunday school teacher just kept loving on him and loving on him. That man never knew the impact that he made in Larry's life. He never knew those seeds that he was planting. He never knew that one day my husband would be a pastor over children's ministry and have a heart to minister to children around the world. And when I was sharing with Larry as we were driving in today, I said, I can't believe it. I remember I was in release time. He goes, I was too. I'm like, seriously? Sure, after 43 years, you'd think you would have remembered that, you know. But that was just so precious to me because God takes those times in those children's lives and sows seeds. We don't know if we are planting or if we're planting or we're watering, but we know that God gives the increase.
Yes.
So it's exciting, isn't it? So today, I just want to share with you some things that I've learned, and I'm coming from my perspective as a Sunday school teacher, some of the things that I've learned through the years of how to minister to children, and some of the things that God has shown me what to incorporate into my classes. And I feel like at this time in my life, I have the best of the best. I've gone through lots and lots of
experiences, try different methods, try different tools in ministering to children and teaching the Bible to them. And God has just shown me so much. And so what you have in your notes today is kind of what God has shown me over 30 years. And so I just want to jump right in after I pray, and we'll get started. So, Lord, I'm so grateful to you for blessing me, blessing all of us with your Holy Spirit, the guarantee of your purchased possession. And we are your purchased possession, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Lord, never let us forget that. And Lord, we do owe you our lives. Help us to be those living sacrifices every day. It's our way of saying thank you to you, Lord. We never can say thank you enough. We can never be grateful enough for what you've done for us. So today, Lord, I pray that you would bless these dear ones here today, that you would give them encouragement, that you would give them hope, that you would give them vision for the ministry that you have given to them. And would you just take these words and use me in any way you choose to, Lord. Would you speak through me? Would you just anoint this teaching for however you want to use it, Lord? And I just thank you, and I pray your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please put the writing. There's the handout there too, wherever. You can start with your handouts. You can open them right up. And I've just written down five important things to remember, starting with a quote by C.H. Spurgeon, that wonderful British preacher from years and years ago. He said that the best preparation for teaching Christ's lambs is love. Love for Jesus and for them. And I think we would all say amen to that.
Amen. You know,
we would agree with that. If we don't love Jesus and we don't let his love flow through us to them, then we're just sounding brass, a clanging cymbal, you know. But praise God that we endeavor to walk in Jesus' love and to love those children for his sake. And then number two, treat the children as people, just little people. Use words and examples that they understand. I wonder if you're like me. When I'm in a crowd, my eyes always go to the little ones. I'm always watching the little ones. And because they are people, they're just little people. And we have to remember that sometimes they don't have the kind of vocabulary that we have. They don't have the life experiences that we have. So we just need to remember to use words and examples that they can really relate to. And, you know, I want to say right off that probably so many of the things that I'll be sharing today, you already know. And so maybe it'll just be a confirmation that you're doing things right, or maybe it'll be something that you think, oh, I never thought of that. But it's just the things that the Lord has shown me, and I'm just talking to you and sharing them with you. So hope it'll be a blessing to you. And number three, this is a big one, really, even as a Sunday school teacher. Do not assume that the children know about God and about what the Bible teaches. Not even children that are from Christian families or that are in ministry families. Don't assume that, because we never know what has taken in their hearts yet. We never know if they're just sweet children, but they aren't born again yet. We don't know that yet. So we need to assume that they have no biblical knowledge. Now, maybe they do, but if we just assume that they don't, I think that will help us in ministering to them. And don't be afraid to teach and repeat truths about God over and over again, because children love it when they recognize truths and they know the answer. And I thought this verse was so neat from Philippians 3:1. The Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." He's saying there, I repeat the same truths about God over and over again. So how much more should we, as we're ministering to children? Let's not be afraid to keep repeating those truths over and over again, because we never know if that's the day that the Holy Spirit grabs their heart and says, this is for you. You need to give your life to the Lord. You need to be born again. So I have found this to be true over and over again, of just sharing God's truths again and again. And don't just lecture while teaching the Bible story, but engage the children by asking questions, listening to their answers, and responding to them. And this has been a real area of growth in my own life as a Sunday school teacher, of because we have a message and we've really got to get it out there. And, you know, the children just want to talk about their dog or whatever, you know. But I have found that God really opens up opportunities when I'm listening to the children and asking them questions. And because when we make a connection with them on their level, it opens up their heart to receive from us some real truths from the Lord. So I love asking the children questions and listening to their answers and then responding to them. And this is maybe a controversial one. Your class doesn't have to be fun, but it should be enjoyable. As I was thinking about this, and I always had, I thought this was always interesting when the parents dropped their children off in Sunday school, so many of them would look at their children and look at me and say, now have fun. Like that was the ultimate goal, you know? And I'm not opposed to having fun, but I want the children to learn about Jesus. I want them to enjoy our time together, yes, but I can't compete with this entertainment-driven culture. It's impossible, you know? And I start thinking about this. I want the children to enjoy our time. I want them to feel the love of, I want them to know the love of God. I want them to sense the love of God coming through me, their teacher. And I know that that is what happens so often. The children come in, they may be first timers in my Sunday school class, and they come in and they're scared and they don't want to be there. And they're welcomed and they're loved. And my younger daughter was my helper for a while in my first and second grade class. And she would even take that initiative and love them and welcome them. And within 30 seconds, they're sitting down, they're happy, they're enjoying being there, and they leave happy, saying to their parent, I want to come back. And that's such a blessing. That's a successful class to me, that they want to come back and hear about Jesus. And so perhaps in our classes, because we're in a difficult culture. I mean, the world's difficult. We're in a difficult culture here. And I have to think in my mind, perhaps in my class, I can give my children something that they can't get anywhere else. Maybe they aren't getting it at home. Maybe they aren't in a, situations where they hear about Jesus. But I know that today children need hope and they need vision. And the things that children go through today in this time in history is very, very difficult. And I want to give them the hope of Jesus Christ. So I have that vision when my children walk in, whether they're coming from a Christian home or not. I still want to treat them the same way that they need Jesus, just like I needed Jesus when I was 5 years old. So I've got some little extras down there too. This is just important, I think, to teach the children to treat the Bible carefully, treating it special because it has God's word in it. I remember having a first-time child in one of my Sunday school classes, and I was teaching the younger age, so I would sit on a low chair, and they would be on the floor in front of me. And one of the little guys was sitting on his Bible. And I thought, okay, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how special it is. So just giving them an education, trying to give them that education before you have to correct them in front of everyone. Just talking about how God's Word is so special because it has God's words in it. And I think it's important to try not to set the Bible on the floor, if it's possible, but instead to hold the open Bible on your lap while teaching. That may not always be possible, but that's just something that I try to do. Let's see, we've already talked about using simple words and examples that children understand. When you're teaching the Bible story, and paying attention to your tone of voice and your body language to help accurately communicate this Bible story. And then using simple drama if desired to communicate the Bible story. Sometimes I would see my children starting to glaze over, you know, when I'm teaching them. And I would just like pop up out of my chair and start walking, you know, across the room if I'm demonstrating someone walking down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, or was it from Jericho to Jerusalem? One of those, you know, one of those directions. And I would just start walking, and suddenly they're engaged again. So just little things like that. And I always like to remind my children to really listen and pay attention to the Bible story, because I'm going to ask you questions. And that was just enough to help them to really focus. And they knew from then on that I really meant that. I would ask them questions, and so they would know to engage when I would start teaching the Bible story. So this workshop is really divided into two parts. The first part is your at-home preparation and practice time before you teach in class. And then the second part is your class time. Some of the class time has some components to it that you don't even need to work on during your preparation time. They're just inherent in the class time, and they're really simple. So we'll go over that in a little bit. So we will start off at, so you're at home. You're preparing your Bible story for, and your Bible time for your teaching time. And of course, the best thing to start off doing is praying first, asking for wisdom, because Amen. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Amen. Of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we want to pray and ask God to help us during our practice and preparation time. And then, learn the Bible story this easy way. And it really is so easy. I love, I've been in Sunday school classes, and maybe this applies to you. I don't really know what the format is in release time now, but when teaching the Bible story, I think it's really important to be able to keep eye contact with the children. It doesn't have to be constant. But what I would do is I'd have my open Bible on my lap, and I had practiced the story well enough that I could just teach it while looking at them and glancing down occasionally, making sure I'm on track and I'm accurate. But rather than just keeping my eyes down the whole time and reading. And so learning the Bible story is really easy. Let's say you've got a 10-verse story. This could probably... To learn it very well, it would probably take you about 10 minutes to learn it pretty well. And this is how you do it. You read through the Bible story, your 10 verses, let's say, out loud. I don't mean silently. I don't mean reading like that. I don't mean that. I mean you're talking. You're talking so you can hear yourself through your ears. You're saying it out loud. That's going in your ears, that's going into your brain, and it's going to help you remember. So you're reading through the Bible story out loud, mm-hmm. and then you close your Bible, and you close your eyes, and now you try to say out loud as much as you remember of that Bible story. That's when you think, oh, I don't think I remember very much, because you may get like two facts. So you start over. You read through the Bible story out loud, you close your Bible, you close your eyes, and you say as much as you can remember out loud. And what's so wonderful about this method is that when you are reading the Bible story out loud, But after you've closed your Bible and you're trying to remember, now you're speaking out loud, you can realize the mistakes you're making. You can realize you've left information out or you got information wrong because you read it accurately out loud. So you just keep doing that maybe 10 times and then you've got your Bible story down pretty well. And it really is so much fun because every time you read it out loud again, you go, oh, I missed that part. Okay, so your brain is just like picking up on this information and it really is fun. It's really exciting. So then you keep repeating that process until you know the Bible passage or story well enough so that you'll be able to accurately tell it to the children. And you're going to be surprised at how well you do with this easy method. And then now your study time. To enhance your understanding of a Bible passage or story, you can read a commentary, you can listen to your favorite pastor on that section of scripture, or your favorite Bible teacher, but remember to keep it simple because you're teaching young children. And I also think this is really important, just to know the context or the background of the Bible story so we can communicate it to the children in class. Let's say we are, we're going to tell the Bible story of Jesus visiting Mary and Martha, that wonderful story where Martha is working hard and trying to get everything ready and wanting to serve Jesus, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to his word. Well, if we just say, and Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha invited him into her house. And they've never heard about Mary, they've never heard about Martha, and they don't really understand the whole concept. But a simple context is, you know what? Jesus had disciples that were his friends, but he also had other friends. And one of his family of friends was a brother named Lazarus. And Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. They were grown-ups. And Jesus would often visit them at their home. He'd have a meal with them. So they were friends. Jesus loved his family. And this family loved Jesus. That's enough for them to understand and get that the context of that story and get the background. And so that's just a simple context, simple background of the Bible story before you actually teach the Bible story. And then to look up definitions of words that you're unsure of. If you're unsure of them, the children are going to be unsure too. Or think of simpler words that the children will understand. So just glance through the story to identify words that you may need to explain to them. Maybe you're coming across the word fearful. Well, maybe the children, maybe they do, maybe they don't understand what that means. But you can say, you know, fearful means afraid. They know what that means. So it's just, again, reaching them on their level, treating them as people. They're just little people, lacking life experience, lacking vocabulary. So in the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus visiting them at their home, it says that Jesus entered a certain village. So this is a way that you can explain to the children the definition of a certain word. And I think it's really fun. I've done this so much. I'm sure you guys do this too. But just by the way you present a question, inherent in the way you present it, they're going to know the answer. It's just so simple for them. So let's say that you say, Jesus entered a certain village. How many of you know what a village is? Probably the little ones. Okay, well, what do you think, you guys? Do you think a village is like a big city with a lot of people in it and a lot of buildings? Or do you think a village is like a small city with just a few people that live there and maybe not that many buildings? Well, you know what they're going to answer because I've given them a hint, the right answer. It's a small city. You're right. You are so smart. That's right. A village is a small city. So it just helps them to understand the context again of the story and the definition inherent in the story of some of the words that they may not understand. And In your handouts, at the very back, you've got it's the parent-teacher question sheet. Jesus visits Mary and Martha. Do you have all that? Do you guys have that one? This one there? Okay. And this is actually part of our ministry that we write Bible stories for children, and they are online. And this is my 24-year-old daughter. She's like our youngest, is actually the writer of our parent-teacher question sheet. So it's a really great resource if you're interested in it. And I find that it's helpful in my preparation time just to kind of glance over some of those questions, to write down some of those questions that I'm going to use in my class of asking them. It's not only just questions, but there's life application in there, which is where we want to get to as teachers. So that can be helpful too. And then this was one of the things that the Lord showed me through the years, listening to one of our favorite pastors. He was talking about asking the Lord, when you're studying a portion of Scripture, just generally for our own lives, ask the Lord to show you a simple truth in that particular Bible passage with its simple life application. And I thought, that is awesome, because when we're teaching children, sometimes there's so many truths that we want them to get, we want them to understand, but they can't remember all of those. How about one simple truth, and with that simple life application? And then during our preparation time, as we're asking the Lord to show us, we can just make that a prayer for us personally. And then when we go to our classes, we can also share that with the children, and then pray and model how to pray to the Lord to make that simple truth be applicable to our own lives. So, for instance, the story of Mary and Martha. The simple truth in there is that Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words. Busyness for the Lord, that's great. That's awesome. But we never wanted to neglect sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, spending time with him. So in my preparation time, when I come across and the Lord has showed me that simple truth, in my preparation time, I'm still at home now, let's say, I would just take that time and say, Lord, you know I struggle with that. I am Martha so often, but I want to be more like Mary. I want to spend more time with you. Help me to do that, Lord, please. Give me your heart of how I can spend more time with you. Show me, Lord. And thank you in Jesus' name. Now, I mean that. I mean that now. I mean that at home when I'm praying it. And then when we're in our classes or our time of ministry with our children, we can also model that so that the children will know how important it is. It's important to that grown-up that's teaching them, and it should be important to them too. So now you are prepared to teach the Bible story. You've had all that preparation time. So now you go to your class, release time, or wherever your ministry is. And so now, again, this is what I've learned. This is how I do my Sunday school class. And some of these may be applicable to you. Some of them may not be. But hopefully there will be some tools or some ideas that you can get from this. So in class time, now some of this we have already studied in our preparation time. So I like to remind the children to really listen, because I will be asking them questions. And then I start off giving them that simple and brief context, the background of the Bible story, if the information would help the children to understand the story better. You don't have to go into a lot of information if it's not going to be helpful to them. And then to define and explain words and concepts that the children may not understand, and don't assume that they already understand this information. And then you're ready to tell and or teach the Bible story meaningful and enthusiastically, because these are God's words. making eye contact with the children, looking at the Bible passage and the open Bible on your lap, because you want the children to know that that story is in the Bible. So this will be the first time that they hear the Bible story in class. Now, the next three methods are review, narration, and questions. And depending on how much time you have, you can use all of these elements, or some of them, or just a few of them. It doesn't really matter. What the Lord has shown me over the years has been so wonderful. I want to do all of these every time I'm in class. But that's not always possible, because sometimes the Lord will lead in a different way. And so I'm just giving you these ideas. But when my children leave my class, they've heard the Bible story accurately at least three times. And they don't even really realize that, because I formally taught it once. So then the second time is review, if time permits. And all you're doing is you're reviewing the Bible story verse by verse, by saying one verse at a time, leaving a blank or a pause for the child to say the missing word. Excuse me. And you give hints as needed, because you want their guesses to be accurate. And so it's just so fun. So Jesus entered a certain, what was that called? A certain village. You're right. Good remembering. So you go through, especially if it's a small Bible story, you can get through the whole thing. And the kids love it, because, remember, I've asked them to pay attention, because I'm going to ask them questions. So then they get it. They know the answers, because they have paid attention. And so you're retelling the Bible story, but they're reaching in their memory for the right answers. And so now, once you go through it again, they've heard the Bible story accurately twice now. Now the third time, and this is absolutely one of my favorites. It has become, I think, my favorite as a teacher, as a minister for children, and it's one of the favorites for the children. And it was very different when I first started doing this in my Sunday school classes. I had done this at home with my own children, but to actually do it in class was a little bit of a challenge, and the children were very hesitant to really jump in and do this. But it's narration, and basically what you're doing is you're asking the children now to narrate or tell back the Bible story. The first time I presented this opportunity for my kindergartners, about 20 of them, they just looked at me like, there is no way I am going to talk and try to tell this Bible story back. So I said, okay, can any of you remember one thing about the Bible story? So they, okay, what? Jesus was laid in a manger. Really good. That's awesome. You remembered. Now, they jumped way to the middle of the story, but that was okay. Can anyone remember anything else? Shepherds came. Very good. And that's how it started, a little bit at a time. And as the children and teacher get comfortable with this interactive method, the children really delight in telling the Bible story back in great detail. It just takes practice over and over again. I have had 5-year-old children that have been able to tell a 20-verse Bible story accurately in the right chronological order with all of the details. Now, this is after weeks of getting, you know, them practicing how to do it. But once they pay attention, they'll do it. And it is just so much fun. And one of the stories that I still remember, because it was so astounding to me. I had two little boys that were twins. They were 6 years old. They were the older age of my kindergarten class. And they had missed the previous week. So now they're back this week that I'm teaching the Bible story. And I said, okay, so who wants to narrate today? Who wants to tell me back the Bible story? One little guy goes, I don't want to tell this Bible story back, but can I tell the one, so they went there the following, 2 weeks ago. And I'm thinking, sure. I'm thinking, you can remember that? What was it? You know? And this child told, it was at least a 20 verse Bible story. He told it back so accurately, in the right order, with all of the details. And I said, that's amazing. And then it gave review to the other kids that probably, you know, maybe they didn't remember or they weren't there either. And then his twin brother said, can I do it too? Sure. And he did the same thing. And different than his brother, because things that meant, things that his brother, that had made an impact on his brother, he interpreted a little bit different that it made an impact on him, but it was the same story. And I seriously, you need to try this. It is so amazing, and it is so much fun. One of the things that it does for you as the teacher is it helps you realize how they're understanding what you've taught them. Because I've also had children say, when we die, we become angels. And, okay, so I know that's what they believe. And then my mom told me that. Oh, dear, now it's getting really scary. <You know? laughs> but it really helps when children express their thoughts that's coming out of their mind, how they understand things, so we can adjust their thinking. We can give them more biblical truth. And so narration helps you in doing that. And it is just, I just love it. I would encourage you to try it. So that is, if the children get it accurately, and maybe it's not even in the right chronological order, because maybe one child saying one fact, another child saying another fact, but they're still hearing it correctly because you are maybe correcting them as they're going on if they get something wrong. So now they've heard the Bible story 3 times accurately, and it doesn't even, if they're narrating the whole story, I've had 5, 7, 8 kids want to narrate the whole story back to me. So now we're into the, you know, they're hearing the Bible story maybe 10 times in class. I mean, that's amazing. And they walk out and they say, guess what we learned today? And then they tell the whole story to their parents. It's just amazing. So it's very, very fun. Questions are awesome. If time permits, ask those children the simple who, what, when, where, and why questions about the Bible story. And gets them talking, gets them, you know, in conversation about the Bible story. And then here we are at our simple truth, simple application. We've already had that in our time of preparation. And so you come to class or you come to your ministry time. You know what is the point that God's impressed on your heart that you want to share with the children. The simple truth, that simple life application. And then it's the time to share that with the children now and how it applies to their lives. Then as the teacher, you first respond to the Lord in prayer. And then this encourages the children to also pray, and it gives them that example to follow. Now this is an example of one of the simple truths and simple applications that I remember in one of my first grade classes. We were going through the life of Joseph and how he went from being that much beloved son of his father to his brothers out of jealousy, selling him to slave traders, and then his exile in Egypt. And just what that must have been like for Joseph, being that slave in Egypt, going from such a loving relationship with his own dad, and then being sold, and just the agony and the heartache that must have been for him. And we talked about that, and the simple truth was that life can be hard, and life can be unfair. And so you ask the question, hey, you guys, do you ever think that life is hard? Do you ever think life is unfair? You ask that to 6-year-olds or 5-year-olds or 10-year-olds. Yeah, they know it is. They know it's hard. They know it's unfair. But the truth is, Joseph kept kept on trusting God and loving him, even when things were unfair and hard for him. And the simple life application was that people, even children, can have hard and unfair things happen to them. But we can still trust God and we can still love him, just like Joseph did. And I said to those little ones, I said, you know, if Joseph, as a young person, had let anger and hatred build up in his heart, instead of loving God and trusting God, if he'd let that anger and just of what his brothers had done to him, and now he's in another country with another language, and he's away from his family, if he had let that anger and hatred build up in his heart as a young person, and he just kept thinking about it and never forgiving his brothers, what do you think, how do you think he would grow up? What kind of a grown-up do you think he would be? And they're totally getting it. Oh, yeah. Mad and angry and mean, you know. I said, that's right. But is that what Joseph did? Or did he keep loving God? Did he trust God? Did God change his heart? And so when he finally saw his brothers, did he punish them all? No. He forgave them, didn't he? Because that was the kind of grown-up he became because of his love and trust for God. And they totally got this. Six-year-olds totally got that. That's a simple truth and a simple life application for them. And then we had this sweet time of prayer with these children. It was just so, so dear. And one of the things I also remember is when we were talking about how Joseph had to go away from his father that loved him. And I wasn't even trying to make any point. This one little boy said, I've had to go away from my father. I can't live with my father anymore either. And we just stopped right then and prayed not only for him, but for all the other children that are going through that. So touch the truths of God touch these children. It's not just information in God's word. It's not just information in the Bible. The Bible's written to tell us about our precious Savior Jesus Christ and the hope and the vision that he gives us, the hope for our future and the hope for children now that we can minister to. So now, again, we just pray during that time, giving the children the opportunity. Thank you. Giving the children the opportunity to pray in response to that simple truth and simple application that you, as the minister of to your children, as you have that opportunity, now you just are praying and then you model that and then the children can pray too. And then also encourage the children to pray to the Lord for other things. And oftentimes my children would be hesitant or shy to pray. But I found that if I said, was there anything that I could pray for you? They're all raising their hands. So they're still growing. They're still learning. They're hesitant. They're not good prayers yet, maybe, you know, and they want to pray, but they're unsure. So we can be that model. We can teach them. And that time of ministry that you have with your children may be the place where your children learn to pray. So teach them. Take those opportunities to teach them to pray. And then finally, every child you encounter is a divine appointment. You don't know. You don't know. But God knows. And you're there at that time for that moment. And you may never, ever see that child again. But God may have you right then at that point to sow seeds or to water seeds that have already been planted. So every child you encounter is a divine appointment. Make every minute count. And you only have a short amount of time in class or in your time of ministry, so do the most important things. Give the children what they may not be getting anywhere else. Give them Jesus. And that's our mission, right? We want to give them Jesus. We're where we're at today because we have our precious Savior. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Again, I love that verse, the guarantee of the purchased possession. That's the Holy Spirit within us. And so, praise God that he's given us a wonderful ministry of touching these little ones, because we know how precious children were to Jesus and are to Jesus. And so we just keep going on. We keep loving them for Jesus' sake and keep sowing those seeds and not being weary while doing good, because we will reap if we don't give up. We don't know oftentimes until heaven, but heaven's coming closer and closer. So let me pray for you guys. Lord, I just thank you for these precious servants of yours. And Lord, I pray that you would fill them with hope, with everything that they need to walk in your ways, to walk in the ministry that you have called them to. Would you continue to equip them? And Lord, for those of us who are discouraged, would you lift us up? Would you continue to help us to keep our eyes on the goal? The goal is Jesus Christ. The goal is you, Lord. And we want to keep loving you and loving children for your sake. So would you bless these dear ones today? And I just thank you for them. And I pray you continue to encourage them and uphold them and uplift them and anoint them with the work that you have called them to. I thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're so excited to see them. You're so happy to see them. You make that personal connection. Oh, so that they love by you. And just by that love and acceptance, I think they'll love
you. I'll be praying for you.
Please do that.
All right. God bless.
Too young. It may take a while. I'm going to go to all kinds of
Yeah, okay, I'll get you.
Okay. And if they're fancy and they want to move and they want to do all that, you know. And sometimes kids are angry and they just, you know, want to talk.
And I know that it says not to lecture. Now, we've been told that through our meetings. Mm-hmm. And you find yourself, okay, I really like the ideal about reading it four or five times and pulling out the facts, repeating it, and learning it yourself so that you can read the story to them so that you have their attention. But I've been thinking about the children are coming in from school. Okay, they've had a long day. They're restless. They don't want to hear me talk about something first. They have no idea. there were quite a few things that you said that made, got my attention to where they are and when they come in. And I'm thinking the louder I talk, maybe I'm going to wake them up and get their attention, but I know that's not it. I was somehow my ears open up even more to what you were saying, because you were saying it so intimately and so soft. And I said, now if I did that, they would be talking so much and out of their seats. And Miss Jessel, we can't hear you. And I'm thinking that is the right approach. But how do I get there? How do I continue in spite of my anxiety to, I want to get make sure they get leave here with the story at least, or with the understanding of what we're talking about. So right now we're on Abraham, God sent, God called, and God saved Moses for this job. So those were very important concepts. And I said, not to them. I mean, because they're coming from school. They've had a long day.
It's
the end of the day.
And see, that's where I think, and I'm so sorry, I'm looking at the time because I know my husband needs my help.
No,
it's fine. I'm just going to go over it because I'm going to be part of his helper in his workshop.
Oh, okay.
Is, again, that personal reaching out to them, I think is so important. I've had children that have had such severe learning disabilities. I mean, they're crawling under the table, they're interrupting, shouting, they're pulling their hair out, they're doing all that kind of stuff. But I'm so happy to see you. Oh, I'm so glad you came back to Sunday school. And pretty soon they're just calming down. They feel the love of Jesus.
And it took several weeks. That environment that you just mentioned, I said, well, she's talking from an environment in which the children are already at church. These children are coming from school.
Yes,
that's true. And I said, that is another element that has to be considered. And I said, nobody really talked about the children who come in cold. They've never been in church. Some of them, I think five of them raised their hand when I asked them yesterday. Our release is on Friday. I said, how many boys and girls go to church with Grammy or Mom or Dad or somebody? Five of them only.
So, and you know what? It's a greater contrast for them now. So don't give up, because it's a greater contrast between them sitting in their classroom.
I just want to duplicate you, clone you. That'll work.
That's so